What's up, people? You are now tuned in to Wrestle Extra, hosted by Black Wrestling Alliance, your one-stop shop for all things black wrestling. You can also catch myself, Mex, the WrestleManiac, on the show alongside the Professor Gerard Bonner. Enjoy.
Yo, this is a Wrestle Extra. I'm your boy, A Dazzle, the Black Wrestling Advocate. Always joined by my trios team, the Real House of Black. Mex, the WrestleManiac, if you will. Yeah, and of course, the omnipresent professor, that is Gerard Bonner. Mm-hmm. Boys, the time has come where the Velveteen Man, not the Dream, but the Man, Patrick Clark made his return to pro wrestling, I believe, over 3 years since his last in-ring appearance and release also as well from WWE, which came a few months after his last appearance. He appeared at
Destiny.
Okay. Uh-huh. Destiny in Albany, New York, over the weekend. The show was called It's All About a Dream, or It Was All a Dream. It Was All a Dream was the name of the show. It came out as a surprise. No one expected it. I think I probably would have expected it from the name of the show, but
still,
you know, he's not been around, so you know, it's easy to you know, miss that completely. He came out. An open challenge. It was answered by someone, and Dream, you know, won the match quite surprisingly, given all the controversy and the flack that he's taken over the last, you know, 3 years or so, based on all the allegations and the other stuff that he has actually been involved with. You know, there were big cheers from the fans, but it in comparison to that, social media has taken a little bit of a different, you know, approach to his return. It's been a bit mixed, but, you know, it's kind of like for and against on two ends of the spectrum. Let me go to you first, Gerard. What are your thoughts when it comes to Patrick Clark being back in the ring?
This is tricky, and I'm going to this is probably going to be a hot take to start with. I think what is so concerning, even as we're talking, is the three of us have to carefully craft an answer as to not be canceled by the adorning internet wrestling community. And therein lies our problem. Like, seriously, therein lies our problem. Should Patrick Clark have an opportunity to make a living? Well, let's look at the facts. He was accused of some pretty ugly things. He was not convicted in a court of law for any of these things. Now, I know the court of public opinion in the minds and eyes of many seems to outweigh an actual court of law, but here's where the problem comes in. If he were a convicted sex offender, he would be on certain lists where he would not be allowed to go to certain places. Like there just wouldn't be that possibility. So does he deserve the opportunity to make a living again? I think everybody deserves a second chance if they have demonstrated that they have done the work to be able to, you know, get better as opposed to whatever it is that they've done. My concern with this is, well, let's start by saying this. I think, because I know the show started with asking, would the WWE bring him back? I think right now it's too much of a risk for any major company to bring him back. I'm not sure what he would have to demonstrate to be deemed more of an asset versus a liability at this point. For this indie promotion, they won. And what I mean by they won is before Friday, nobody was talking about Destiny. I don't even know that anybody heard of them. So they got the publicity they wanted. They've given him an opportunity. He ultimately gets to determine what he is going to do with this opportunity. But my primary issue lies with the fact that in the wrestling community and in society at large, there is not a path to redemption. There is a place for you to get canceled. There's not a place for you to become restored. That's a concern. What's equally concerning is that there are wrestlers who have been convicted of certain things in a court of law. And those wrestlers have been welcomed back by portions of the community. And so I think we have to figure out what is the level playing field. You know, are we going to accept only the people we like back, and then the people we don't like, not so much? What's going to be that particular space? Because I'll say there are still some people, you know, who are putting their hands to their ears and they are wearing red and yellow. When the news about that particular person came out in a court of law, you know, as opposed to, you know, just accusations. So that is my thought on that.
Max, when you first kind of saw this whole thing unfold, what was your first thought?
I thought Destiny were very brave. Very brave. They have opened up a conversation, which I think we probably all saw coming in terms of, you know, Patrick Clark's reemergence on social media, doing interviews, clearing his name, making apologies. What is this all for? Like, this is what we all kind of asked ourselves. So, it's still surprising to a degree that someone's bit the bullet, someone's decided to back him in that sense. And they are very much backing him. They have, you know, issued a public statement and stuff saying that, it was fine and everything like that. We're happy to have him and all of this kind of stuff. So they're very much sticking to their guns here. But at the same time, very surprising. I was even more surprised when he was answering Velveteen Man. That's a horrible name.
It really is.
Yeah. But yeah, I just thought, okay, well, you know, the first step is that public acceptance, and albeit not everyone has now accepted that he's back and doing this. Yes, it's a mixed reaction, but like you said, you know, it proves somewhat that online is just fake, because it's not the real world. When people are in there in the building, they see the guy and it's like amazing, like, you know, he's back wrestling, all that kind of stuff. So and online, you know, it might just all be fake outrage, and it's the thing we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be annoyed at these figures and stuff. It's funny, I was actually listening to something the other day. A DJ was like, there's no way that he can go to concert, weddings and stuff like that, and not play Happy People by R. Kelly. Like, people still dance, and R. Kelly's done whatever he's done in the past. But it's one of them ones where you're supposed to be angry or whatever because the people want you to, but at the same time, we're humans. Like, if we see someone we even once enjoyed walk through the door, it's like, wow, he's amazing, he's back, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, the shock factor for me is still that he's back and stuff. It's now, who's going to be the next? Who else is going to take the chance? Who else is going to stick their neck on the line to perform like what Gerard was saying, this kind of level of restoration? How do we kind of get these people back into our community? Like, rightly, people go to jail and they are given second chances at jobs and this, that, and the other. And I'm not here, you know, defending anyone or anything they may have done. I just think I agree with Gerard that, if this is not what we're going to accept him for, was him staying on his cousin's farm, as he said he was, learning how to do agriculture, is that where we all want him to be? Or because some people, I'm sure, will still have an issue with that. So, yeah, it's either we kind of all discuss it and welcome him back in, even if we're watching him now with a watchful eye. I think we can't, you know, this is a small promotion. We can't shoot down the promotion. We can't condemn the promotion. This would have been great for them and great exposure for them, as it has been. there will be someone that takes the next chance because that's how it goes. They'll look over there and see, oh, it wasn't that loud. They made noise, but it wasn't that loud. Let's book him. And then another place, let's book him. And then he'll work his way back up. I see it happening. So it's just how quickly he does or how quickly one of the bigger fish will then jump for him.
And that's the part that's going to be interesting. I don't think it will happen overnight. It won't be, but I very much don't see it happening by the end of this year. We've still got, you know, another 10 months to go, but I still don't see it happening this year. But yeah, it was always going to be a shock the first time he came out. It was always going to be a shock. What's interesting, we go back to this whole thing of reaction and social media and stuff like that. As interesting is, you know, I've seen comments, questions where they're asking, you know, how is he allowed to and what has he done to, bring himself back to this and, you know, he hasn't spent time here and he hasn't done this and he hasn't been convicted and blah, blah, blah. And my thing is this, like, he was never convicted. He was never charged, let alone convicted. He was never charged, anything like that. And for the few things that we know that he did, you know, that he was charged for and stuff, was drug taking, and stuff like that. He served his time that was given to him by the courts and all the rest of it. Sometimes I ask myself the question, what more do you expect people to do? They've done what they've done. They've taken on, you know, the repercussions and all the rest of it. He's even come out and, you know, apologized to whoever needed to. People are asking, why didn't he apologize to the people who accused him? If he hasn't done anything, what is he apologizing for? You could ask that question. And Danny even was on an interview with Chris Van Vliet as well, where he explained everything he could and said what he needed to say and whatnot. What more does he need to do? And I understand that, you know, it's like in any type of situation or relationship, someone does you wrong. Yeah, you might forgive them, but it's always going to be in the back of your mind. There's a level of trust that is broken. It's like you break a vase, you can mend it, but you'll still see all the cracks. You know what I mean? So I get that. But to condemn him, continually keep going, we've seen it so many times, you know, on both sides of the spectrum, as you said, Gerard, where people have done stuff. We've seen the evidence, the video evidence. We've seen it happen, blah, blah, blah. Whether it be Terry being racist or whether it be Randy Orton's done stuff and has been suspended by WWE for whatever reason, and others in between that time as well. And after a while, you don't hear anything again. But for some reason, I have a feeling this one's not going to go away. I'm going to ask this question. Do you think it's more based on the type of accusations as opposed to simply being accused of something?
I'm sure. I'm sure that when you start talking, you know, there. I think everybody in their mind, whether they ever say it or not, have their own unspoken hierarchy in terms of levels of, you know, infraction, whatever that could be. And I think pretty much everybody's in the space that if you do anything that endangers a child, that's problematic. And so I think that people in their attempts to really hold to that particular element is where they're like, but he messed with a kid, but he messed with a kid, but he messed with a kid. So I understand why that is problematic to answer that particular question. I do think that it is the type of situation more than anything else, because again, we've seen other people who have done some things that are certainly not ideal or favorable, but I guess in their mind it wasn't dealing with a minor. So the idea of dealing with a minor just kind of puts people automatically at absolutely not, no way, you know. And I think in fairness, that's in any industry. That's not just in pro wrestling. In any industry, you know, the mention of R. Kelly before, I think, you know, looking at those kinds of things, you just go, no, leave our kids alone. So I think that's where a lot of the outrage and backlash is coming from.
You know, this is a very difficult question to answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You know, what would there be possibly for him to do in order to kind of get back to a place where all of this kind of dies down. I'm sure it's not going to go away whatsoever, but to a point where it's not so much, you know, every time his name's mentioned, boom, you know, the whole thing's brought up again. Is there anything you could possibly do? Will it take a certain amount of time? Is that even possible?
I think people will get bored and tired, and people will eventually move on. How long that could take, I don't know. There is no easy kind of fix for this sort of thing. There's no, like, you could take a red pill and then all of a sudden, it, you know, click your fingers, it all goes. Unfortunately, this is one of them situations. There's no smoke without fire, as I like to say. Like, even if he didn't do anything or whatever with the person in question, you spoke to that person in question, and he had evidence of that. So that's enough for people to say. I remember watching Rightly in the Chris Van Vliet interview. He said to him, but this person told you you were 16. They were 16, and you continue to speak to them. 100%, that's the point you make your exit. Like, right.
He did what he absolutely did. Absolutely.
So, yeah, I don't think there's any easy fix, man. I think it's a thing where if he is bang on continuing to wrestle, then it's almost like block out the voices and just, you know, it's a level of maybe ignorance, maybe is the word. You just have to go straight ahead. If that's what you want to do, just go straight ahead and keep wrestling, keep trying to get booked up and down the country, raise your name, raise your profile. You keep getting opportunities at, you know, bigger shows and stuff like that. And maybe, again, one of the major players takes a gamble on you. But I just don't know how long it will take, or the level of outrage, or... People always say stuff like, no one's gonna, if let's say AEW signed him tomorrow. I mean, that might be a bad example because people are already not really going to AEW shows. But like, let's say AEW signed him tomorrow, even WWE. No one's boycotting the WWE or boycotting AEW because you've got Velveteen Dream.
Right.
We all can see what's happening with Vince. And yes, they flushed him out of the company, but his imprint is still gonna be there and stuff like that. No one's boycotting the WWE. They had a sellout show last night. So at the end of the day, people will talk, they'll make noise online, but really and truly, if he does enough to kind of show he can make a company money, please, like, no one's going to turn their back to money. So
And I think that becomes the ultimate question, is after all of that, what can he actually do in a ring? Because nobody's even talking about what he did or didn't do in the ring. You know, from what I saw, it wasn't what we remembered. From the look to, you know, even the moveset, it was not what we remembered. So the other thing he's going to have to be able to ultimately get past, if he's going to attempt to still be in pro wrestling, is... how do you improve your moveset? And how do you become appealing to people? That's going to be a real question. Now, in terms of what should happen, the man's already been gone for 3 years. So, I mean, I'm not sure what other penance people want from him. You know, I mean, think about it. If he tries to do a community event, you know, people are going to have something to say. You know, you certainly aren't going to put him in, you know, doing Make a Wish or anything like that. Like, you're not going to do that. So, I mean, I don't know. This is what I'm saying. Like, almost anything you come up with that would be community, if you put him in the Be a Star program for bullying, people are going to have a like, I don't think that there's any scenario that you put him in right now where people go, that's the thing, I'm sold, he has paid his debt to society.
Right.
So that's where I think it's going to be challenging for him. You know, it is. And there's no way to get around this. This is going to be a very, very much an uphill battle for him. And it's going to really prove if he's committed to proving that he's a better man and then a better wrestler than when we last saw him.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting thing. The other thing that kind of stuck out for me is during the interview with Chris Van Vliet, right towards the end, I think he was asked the question, you know, is the Velveteen Dream going to come back and blah, blah, blah. And Patrick Clark outrightly said, the Velveteen Dream won't be coming back. You might see Patrick Clark, but you won't see the Velveteen Dream. Mm-hmm. But yet, on the weekend, on Saturday, we saw the Velveteen Man. Yes, it's not the Velveteen Dream, But at the same time, you're using obviously the same type of thing. My question is, does he have to be someone completely different in order for him to kind of, you know, resurrect his wrestling career? Does he have to be a completely different guy to what we ended up loving, but then made synonymous with the accusations in order for him to then be, you know, resurrect his career?
You know what would be funny? maybe I shouldn't be laughing at this. If he wrestled under a mask, if he was like a black luchador. Now, right now, he's shown his face too much in terms of these apologies and interviews and public stuff. If he just came back under a mask, like we just started seeing this black guy, 6 foot, whatever, under a mask, doing mad stuff on the indies. I mean, people aren't silly. They probably would have worked it out. This could be him or whatever. But we don't know. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know whether that would have been a cheeky re-entry back into wrestling. It, like, you're not saying sorry. You're not even looking like your finger, just trying to get back in, like, literally behind closed doors, behind a mask. I don't know how that would have went down if it was revealed to be him. Probably not very well. But something like that, like, if he's going to come back, ultimately, like you're saying, if he's going to come back, he has to really bring back the feeling.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
Or look like he really wants to do this. Because, God forgive me, it looked like it was just Patrick Clark needed a check and came out to wrestling in his regular street. In the clothes we saw him do these videos in and
right.
He just entered the ring and wanted an open challenge and whatever. So if Velveteen Dream is dead and belongs to the WWE anyway, like, start again. You cultivated that character, right? True. There is something else in you. Maybe less controversial and flamboyant, because that's probably part of the reason that you got landed in this trouble anyway, because you were trying to play up to the character. But you've got it within you to do something special. Don't come back and give us this half-assed Patrick Clark Velveteen Man stuff. Like, no one's gonna buy it, and it probably won't go anywhere. So, yeah, if you want to do it, I guess kind of do it properly.
And you know what? It's interesting when you mentioned the whole scenario of him being under a mask, and, you know, compared to what he's already done, it goes back to what Gerard said. Like, what is there he can do to where nobody's gonna have an issue? Someone's gonna have an issue in some type of way, in some type of scenario, for whatever reason. You know, and that's the difficulty of the position that he's in. You know, some of it partly put himself there. Some of it, of course, you know, it was maybe fabricated. We don't know the exact details. But it's unfortunate for me, on a whole, it's unfortunate that there's this uphill battle that has almost no answer. And he's going to have to just approach it and keep on going. And just see what happens, type of thing. But yeah, I'm glad he's back. He's doing what he loves, and we know for a fact, you know, from when he was on Tough Enough up until he became big with Velveteen Dream, that this was one thing that this guy was so dedicated to. Absolutely loved every second, every angle of it, every detail. Like, he was just so into it, and I think obviously of course that was a massive reason why he became as big as he was, because he just knew the details and how to work the crowd and his opponents, and down to his attire and his entrances and his promos and all that type of thing. And I'm just, it's a shame that it had to go the way it did, and it just had to go in for whatever reason. But it's going to be a tough watch to see him carry on. And I wish it wasn't, but that's just where it is, and there's no easy solution. You know what I mean? There's
no easy solution. He's said his apologies,
right?
And like I said, he has to kind of, if he really wants to do this, there has to be a level of ignorance within him. Like, I've given you lot an apology for something he's claiming he didn't do anyway. He's trying to move on, so it's like even if it's a heel character, it's like, right, I just need to crack on now. I just need to really get on, ignore the booze, ignore the stuff. All the stuff is still going to come. You just have to be ignorant to it. You have to pretend it's not there. You just have to get on with it. If this is what you really want to do, you just have to get on with it. And just, you know, if anyone has anything to say, forward them your apology videos and this, that, and the other, and crack on, really. Like, it's one of them ones where, you know, like you said, if you use the jail analogy, someone comes out of a prison system and they integrate it back into the workplace, and someone has an issue because this is a jailbird that I'm here working with. It's like, bro, I've served my time. Like, right. What do you really want me to do? Like, I can understand it might unsettle you or whatever the case is, but I, by the state of the country, I've done what I needed to do, and I'm here now. So, it's I hate to say it, but it's kind of like cry more. Like, go ahead. Right, do what you need to do. But I understand his thing is very serious. I'm not trying to make light of it, but it's one of them ones where the door has been open for him. A forbidden door, in fact, has been open for him. He's returned to wrestling, now I can only see it being, if he's open to more stuff and, you know, running around the place, getting bookings, whatever the case may be, who knows? He doesn't live in New York, does he? For him to be in the New York promotion. So he's already prepared to travel. So
true.
Yeah. We'll have to see how it develops.
It's gonna be very interesting. The you know, now people are gonna be waiting for the next place that he turns up in. And that's gonna be interesting. I don't know how long that's gonna keep going. Every time he appears somewhere, we're gonna wait for the next one. And then we're gonna wait for the next one. How long that lasts, we don't know. But, you know, again, I just want to see this guy do what he loves, carry on and become great at whatever it is. I don't know what level or how, you know, whether he's going to get back into any big promotion anytime soon. But we've seen people that have been successful, whether that be by notoriety, whether that be financially, on the indies. It's not impossible in this day and age. It's not impossible at all. It's not going to be the glitz and the glamour of WWE anytime soon, and that's what helped him massively with his whole gimmick and stuff.
Presentation.
The presentation was, you know, it was. I think only WWE could really, you know, give him everything he needed to be what he wanted to be. But with that being said, you know, I wish the absolute best for him. But you know, it's going to be, unfortunately, going to be a real struggle. A real struggle. Speaking of struggles, yeah. Anyway, Elimination Chamber is going to be a struggle for the people who are involved.
I see where you're going. Yeah,
that was bad. That was bad. what we see, we now know, with both the men's and the women's Elimination Chamber matches, we now know all six competitors in both matches. Let's go to the men's one first. We see Bobby Lashley. In the mix, something that we said last week he didn't necessarily expect to happen. He went against Bronson Reed, who's an Australian. Of course, Elimination Chamber is taking place in Australia. So we kind of expected this, you know, Bronson Reed to come out with the win, maybe by way of Karrion Kross in getting involved with Bobby Lashley in some way. But we are now here. The Almighty is going to be in the Elimination Chamber. I think I asked this question last week, but let's ask it again. Who's coming out of that Elimination Chamber match as the winner, Gerard?
I'd like to see a swerve happen, but it feels like Drew McIntyre is the guy. I mean, it's weird. You know, I know some have said that he might have been the alternative since CM Punk is injured, but it really feels like Drew McIntyre has been doing the work.
Yes.
You know, he has, from his promos to it's kind of like, we finally got the Drew that people wanted to get behind in 2020, except he's got an edge now. And it's like, yeah, we can. Okay. You're making the case that I'm for it. And perhaps the biggest proof is the fact that he got a win over Cody last night.
Yeah.
Like, you can make the argument about the bloodline or whatever. Cody doesn't get pinned very often. I think it's probably only happened once, and that was Brock, or the guy who...
Since WrestleMania last year.
Yeah, the guy who should not be named. I'm sorry. you know, so he got pinned... Right. He got pinned by that invisible guy named B-Rock. And so, yeah, it says a lot about Drew. And what I think is interesting, I think Bobby Lashley's inclusion in this, along with the other stars, is just to prove how star-studded this is going to be, which only elevates the case for Drew once Drew wins this. Now, I would love some sort of weird swerve that happens where somebody else wins and it just turns Drew into a maniac. Right. And then he literally does something like obscene, like kidnap somebody or something, you know, to get into that match. I want to see him get to that edge, you know, if they're going to make this unpredictable. But he definitely seems like the favorite to win the chamber on the men's side.
For me, I still think there's space, even, you know, we also all predicted and expecting Drew McIntyre to win, that we get something where he does turn into an absolute maniac. And my prediction, as I said last week, was that he faces Seth, beats Seth, but then gets cashed in on by Damian Priest. That will turn into absolute madman. We've seen nothing yet if that happens. That's what I expect to happen. Going over to the ladies one. We mentioned before, I believe last week, where it was kind of put out there by mistake, maybe, or on purpose, who knows. There was this blurred image of the six ladies who were supposed to compete in the match. By then, I think we only knew, confirmed two, maybe three ladies who were involved in the match. One of the faces was Jade Cargill. It emerged towards the weekend that plans had changed. And now we see Raquel Rodriguez made a return and won the women's last chance battle royal to capture that final place in the match. Bianca Belair, Naomi are both in there. We heard from Naomi for the first time since her return. She said, you know, gave us a reason why she came back, and nothing new, but, you know, it sounded convincing that she came here to, you know, get back to the top and all the rest of it. Do we think, Mex, that in any way that she has a real chance of coming out of the Elimination Chamber match as the winner?
Naomi?
Yeah, yeah.
What's Mr. McMahon's music? No chance in hell.
He also who shall not be named.
Yes, sorry people. Yes. None, zero, nil pois, never gonna happen. It's not, and this is part, you know, this goes back to the discussion of, you know, when we were saying, right, is she coming back too early? What is she gonna do if she returns to WWE? Am I imagining this? Maybe about 2 weeks ago, did any of you see something about a possible women's mid-card title called the WWE Intercontinental Women's title?
No, I thought I heard something in passing about that, but I don't remember reading it. But I thought I heard something in passing.
I'm sure Inception, maybe. I've seen something like that over the last few weeks, but I can't like find where. But yeah, then, like, maybe they're going to do a ladder match at WrestleMania or something and crowns. I don't know. But yeah, I think if they did do something like that, not that nothing's been announced, that's maybe more of a route for Naomi right now. In terms of this women's Elimination Chamber, I think for a long time it's had Becky Lynch's name written all over it. Never been in a chamber match before. She comes out, wins it. What I actually got more excited by last night was, I'm pretty sure we're probably going to get Bianca Belair versus Tiffany Stratton at Mania.
That's gonna cook.
I was well excited by the end of that segment. The segment was a bit, they went on for a while and descended into what it was obviously gonna descend into, but like, just their interactions, I was just thinking, this is gonna be good, sort of thing. So they found something for Bianca to do.
The amount of times I heard "girl" in that promo was crazy, and it was Tiffany and Bianca, the only two that were saying it.
Yeah. Right.
With that possibility, you know what, Gerard? What does that do for Tiffany Stratton's status? She's come in, you know, just 2 or 3 weeks ago from NXT in the Women's Battle Royal. You know, won her first match, which was the main event on SmackDown. Now she's in the Elimination Chamber. You know, we briefly spoke about, you know, her trajectory and how ready she is. Like, is she ready for a match with Bianca Belair at WrestleMania, with Bianca Belair going 3-0 at WrestleMania so far?
I think she's definitely ready. You know, I think what she proved at the Royal Rumble proved that she was ready, where strangely enough, she was in there mixing it up with Bianca then. You know, I think this is the case where they have timed all of this right for her ascension. Now, I don't know if she beats Bianca. I don't know about that. Because if she did, that would, I mean, that would set the world on fire.
Damn.
But I definitely think she deserves to be in there. I think it's a statement that points toward the future of WWE. I think it says that obviously we're looking at a potential WrestleMania main eventer in Tiffany Stratton. Mm. And she knows what she, it's amazing. She's young. She's a, you know, she's come to this business like a fish out of water. She's got it. She's part of that NIL program. Like, she just gets it. Mm. And so I think to put her against the best, that's a major statement. I mean, again, think about it. She gets Royal Rumble. She gets Elimination Chamber. Mm. That's a big deal. A very, very big deal. They're high on Tiffany Stratton, and I think rightfully so.
You know what? This might be an unpopular opinion, but I wouldn't be upset if she beat Bianca at WrestleMania, you know? I wouldn't
if Tiffany
be upset.
Takes the streak?
Yeah, I wouldn't. Because I'm not massive on people having streaks. The Undertaker one was the Undertaker one. I was upset when it ended. But that kind of almost, I think to a point, almost happened by accident, like how long the Undertaker's one was before we kind of, you know, made it a thing. Yeah. Whereas with Bianca, it's free. I was going to say it's only free. It's not only free, but it's free compared to, you know, 2021, whatever that Undertaker did. So
I was going to say, I'm here for the rattling of cages, including my own cage. I don't mind. I'm here for that completely. Because you know, by the time you get too deep into a streak, like you're saying, it begins to get predictable.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm sure Bianca, I mean, you know, if I'm on marks to say who my prediction is, I'll still say Bianca's going to win, I'm here to be shocked and stuff like that. With Tiffany, I mean, Gerard said it, like her trajectory has just been super. Like, they said that this girl was calling to be on main roster when she was still in programs in NXT. Like, when am I being called up? Like, she's so sure of herself. She's ready. We're seeing it. Like, she's jumped past the SmackDown mid-card of, you know, Meechin and Zelina Vega and all of these kind of names. Mm. Like, she just went straight past them. Again, this is a great example of this transition from NXT to the main roster now. Like, you know, people were well aware of it, Tiffany Stratton, before she was officially called up and signed a contract on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. And without sounding disrespectful to Charlotte, I think this is a like-to-like swap. Because I'm very sure that it was going to be Bianca Belair and Charlotte at WrestleMania.
If you
can't get Charlotte, it's like, almost not even just a white lady with blonde hair. This is like a clone in terms of ability somewhat as well, and where she is. So like I say, no disrespect to Charlotte, but this is as good as a like-to-like swap. You're putting on that stage immediately. Even if they have a very competitive match that Bianca wins, there is no shame in that. Bianca's on a tear right now, and obviously promoting stuff outside of the WWE. And I was very much kind of saying, you know, when Charlotte went down injured, and we were looking at, like, when Charlotte went down injured, I said, for sure, they need to bring back Mercedes Moné now. For sure. This is like their marquee person for the next 9 months that can help, you know, carry that load whilst Charlotte's not around. There was no Moné. They brought back Naomi, but we probably all had an inkling of how Naomi would be booked. This is as good as a replacement you're going to get. So, kudos to them. WWE, finding something for Bianca. I think if they go this way, of course, we're jumping the gun a bit. But if they do go this direction, I think it's solid for WrestleMania.
Let me ask this question real quick. So we mentioned it, I think, in passing probably about 2 weeks ago, when we saw the interaction between Bianca Belair and Logan Paul. On social media early last week, around this time last week, Logan Paul posted a video of him in, I think it was at the Performance Center, and he was looking up at the board, at the leaders board for, you know, the different stuff, and he saw Montez Ford, longest jump, highest jump, all the rest of it, tried to beat it, couldn't. Now, I'm quite surprised he wasn't kind of like a little bit more heelish or disrespectful with it, but he was calling out Montez Ford. Like, are we seeing that? Are we still expecting something like that to happen between those two? Is that something that needs to happen for Montez? Like, what, Gerard, what are you thinking when it comes to this little thing here?
To answer that, I definitely think it needs to happen for Montez. Mm. I think it is, you know, in terms of timing, it is the perfect follow-up to this Love and WWE series on Hulu. You know, maximize that by, you know, and right now he's not really doing anything. Mm-hmm. You know, Street Profits have a match coming up on Friday against AOP, mm-hmm. but he's not doing anything. And if we just think back to a year ago, he was in the Elimination Chamber fighting for the U.S. Championship. So mm-hmm. I think, you know, that interaction that happened between Logan Paul and Bianca Belair, we just can't forget about that. We can't act like that didn't happen. It happened live on Fox. Like, it happened. Mm-hmm. And there has to be some sort of lick back. If he doesn't step up and say, you're going to keep my wife's name out your mouth, you know, I mean, we're going to have a problem. Mm-hmm. So I need that. And I think for Montez, it's the great scenario. I think I initially had LA Knight pegged in to take the U.S. title at WrestleMania. But if this Montez Ford thing happens, I'm totally for it. I think it'd be a great moment. It's kind of almost your Rocky moment there in Philly. You know, they hadn't given him an opportunity, his first solo WrestleMania match against the U.S. champion. Book that. Let's make it happen.
Mix, if they were to go down this route, would Montez Ford have to win in order for it to do what we would want it to do for his career?
I would like to think so, because, I mean, Logan Paul has said he's going to be around now, and I think we're kind of seeing that he's about more often than not. But, I'd like to think, because it's one of them ones where, all right, you could do the whole thing of building up Montez Ford and giving him this big match, and if he doesn't win, do you guys keep the same energy?
Is it a straight let's go again
sort of thing or whatever? Or is he just fade to the back? Almost like how Gable has kind of faded to the back of the queue now with the Intercontinental title. So it's like you would want him to win so that he's a tag team guy right now anyway. You see what I mean? So it's like he might not actually get that second chance to come back. It might just be a one and done. So if they don't make it happen, I wouldn't really hold out on him getting another chance. So yeah, 100%, I think this is where they need to go. And they've got shows coming up, you know, big shows. They've got the Backlash show in France, you know, another PLE that they're doing abroad, relatively big kind of promotion around it. Depending how long down the line they're trying to set this up and maybe build Montez or whatever the case is, they've got Money in the Bank in Toronto, in Canada. So they've got relatively big. I mean, it could just be on SmackDown, but if they really want to make a noise about it, I do think, you know, we're looking at LA Knight for US title. I'll caveat all of that by saying that, but like, yeah, there's still places where they could do something big. And just on top of everything, these guys, including Bobby Lashley, they need something to do.
Yeah.
What they're doing now is substandard. It's not enough. Like, they gave us the bait. They reeled us in, and then they just threw us back into the water. There's nothing here. So yeah,
for sure. Also on SmackDown, we saw the return of. It was so good. The shirt was phenomenal. The promo, the words, phenomenal. Shut up, fatty, or I'll slap the herpes out of your mouth. Wow. The Rock, Hollywood version of The Rock, the heel Rock is back and is part of the Bloodline. Of course, he said what he said. They're coming to you know, make sure Cody doesn't make it to WrestleMania. In any way, do we think that we still have, you know, or there could be some changes to what happens at WrestleMania with, you know, now it being Cody versus Roman Reigns, is there going to be anything more? Is there anything in between? Do you think this promo kind of given us any inklings or anything else?
What did you guys think of this? This so, hands in the air so, thing.
So let's go there.
It went past me, you know, but go for it, Gerard.
No, you know, here I'm going to preface what I'm saying by saying this. Over the weekend, one of the things that my wife and I decided to do simultaneously, and I'd been thinking about it, is rewatch a show called Scandal. Now, Scandal, one of my all-time favorite shows, but Scandal, I think, was the show that caused the culture in general to start reading deeper into things and start looking at meanings and things like that. Now, I think it's no coincidence that this promo was viewed over 3 million times on YouTube as of yesterday. I know that number has increased. But as I look back at it, there are things that I see that I wasn't exactly paying attention to before that I'm wondering if The Rock is telling us without telling us. First and foremost, we still don't know what The Rock actually said to Cody in that handshake that they did all of 2 weeks ago. We have no idea. We all of a sudden see The Rock partnering, of course, with Roman Reigns. There's body language issues here. Like, when was the last time that Roman Reigns in a Bloodline promo stood to the side of the ring while somebody else stood in the middle? Usually what happens is they stand in a horizontal line, you know, where The Rock is, or excuse me, where Roman's in the middle, whoever else is talking, they might step forward. But in terms of blocking, he's in the middle. Yeah. He and the rest of the Bloodline were completely to the side, and The Rock stood alone. And then when The Rock says this whole thing about, I'm going to do everything in my power, and he's looking straight ahead, then he turns to the right and looks in the direction of Roman and says, to make sure that you don't leave WrestleMania as the champion, Cody. You look dead at Roman. You look dead at Roman and said that, and then added Cody's name. And then you mean to tell me that The Rock, after 3 years of watching everybody put their ones in the air, all of a sudden puts up an L for loser? You mean The Rock, that skill, doesn't know how to put one finger in the air? I think, and then he also said that this story is ending and our story is beginning, talking about him and Roman. I think he said, and he clouded it so well with insults to the fans and all those things that I think he told us a lot. I think people ultimately know that at some point this is going to devolve into Roman versus The Rock. But I think the layers of it are where we're going to get very, very interesting. And I think, you know how WWE put together that whole like 2-hour video, the story of the Bloodline, and brought all these pieces together, and it was stuff that we were missing? This stuff's going to be added to it. And I think probably in 6 months, we'll look back and go, he started giving us signs all the way back then.
It's like I said, you know, a couple of weeks ago, this whole thing, like, I'm not expecting to see Rock versus Roman anytime soon. But all the things, like you just said, Gerard, all the little nuggets and the Easter eggs and all the rest of it, are all going to fall into place. Whether it happened from WrestleMania, whether it be 6 months down the line, whether we get a nice story in between, we're going to come to Rock versus Roman for next year's WrestleMania. And they're doing it, and they're starting the story from now. It's going to be interesting, but I don't even see The Rock competing at all this year. It was just there for people to get talking and all that kind of stuff, and I think that's what we're going to see. How we get to what happens in between now and WrestleMania, I don't necessarily know, but I just don't see Rock actually having a match.
I can see the tag match happening on maybe night one.
Okay.
They practically made a whole trailer basically advertising that. So I can see that possibly happening. And then maybe on the night, on night two, he is just a enforcer or just ringside in his corner, Roman's corner. Because, I mean, they're going to have to find a way to make that match different from what we saw last year already. So there's going to have to be some kind of trinkets to it. But even on what Gerard was saying, the last line, remember he went for the "if you smell," then he cut the crowd off, "you don't get to sing along with The Rock." He said some other stuff that he said, "just shut up and enjoy the ride that The Rock is going to take you on." And then went and finished what the Bloodline is cooking or whatever the case is. Like, I will be very impressed. And I know we've seen this over the last year with the Bloodline, but I just feel like WWE are beginning to tell stories to a level which I know as a fan, I don't think I have ever really deeped before. And even in, you know, as a younger fan, some things go over your head that I like. I mean, it was only in the last, honestly speaking, in the last four years or so, I really understood the likes of Triple H and Booker T, and people like you are not supposed to be champion and stuff like that. As a child, or whatever, like that's obviously that's all the storytelling which led to WrestleMania, which never had a payoff. But like for me, I was a Triple H guy, and all of that stuff went over my head. All of that stuff. So now, like as a as an adult, I'm not being tricked into anything stupid. I'm seeing stories playing out, making sense, and I can appreciate them. And you're looking deeper into things like his finger. Like, okay, obviously it's an L, like, and I can see it's an L. I thought of L, but I thought it's going to be one of them ones where almost like a Batista thumbs down deal, or like it's a gun that like, he's going to then do, you know, I'm coming for you sort of thing. Like, there's just so many things you could read into it, and everyone has their own interpretation and stuff. And again, I haven't seen WWE do this till the past 2-3 years, so I'm very impressed. Although I know there's probably some people out there will be like, "Oh, this is simple stuff, Mex. Like, let me enjoy it." Like, I'm right. Like this, is something that at least on WWE TV we're not used to. So I'm doing what The Rock said. I'm shutting up, and I'm gonna enjoy the ride.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, most definitely. You know, and that's the thing as well, like WWE are just in this space right now where, you know, we're paying attention to everything, even down to stories with, you know, Ivar and Alpha Academy. Like, we're still paying attention to these stories. R-Truth and Judgment Day, wow. Like that.
What in the world?
R-Truth is winning that, the tag team title.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's taking that. Him and the Miz winning that at WrestleMania for sure. And it needs to happen, because if we want to talk about, you know, guys like LA Knight, who kind of, you know, went up because of the fan reaction, something has to happen for Truth, because this man is getting cheered more than anyone else, maybe apart from The Rock, even though Rock's getting booed as well. But he's the one person who's getting the most reaction out of anyone else, out of the fans, should I say. So something definitely has to happen for him, and it's phenomenal to see as well. Moving our attentions quickly, we've got a few minutes to go. To AEW. Now, we've seen, I don't know if this is an actual thing, but we've seen 3 signings in AEW, all in the month of February, which in the US is Black History Month. The 3 signings, let me tell you who they are. So we've seen Shane Taylor, Queen Aminata, and of course the Bounty Hunter is Brian Keith. Each one announced each week. It's been 3 weeks so far. There's 1 week left in February. Will we see another black wrestler signed to AEW before the end of Black History Month? Oh Lord! I guess they're saving the
last one for March 13th, aren't they?
That is very true.
Yeah,
that is very true. We're getting a late present, late Black History Month present. In Mercedes Moné. Let's talk about the 3, because the 3 of them have, you know, have seen success, or levels of success over the last few weeks, which kind of almost encouraged the sign-in, or, you know, obviously lead it up to the announcement of signings and stuff like that. Let's go with Brian Keith, first of all. Brian Keith had a match with Eddie Kingston. The Triple Crown. I'm not going to name all of them because I'll probably forget the names of them. The Triple Crown champion had a fantastic, phenomenal match. And then it was then after that match, he lost the match, but then Tony Schiavone came into the ring to announce that he was being signed, or he's now All Elite. And he kind of finds himself now, he was on ROH on Thursday, finds himself now kind of in contention for something. He hasn't quite been pushed to whatever belt or whatever just yet, but they're making a big deal of him. Gerard, what are your feelings and thoughts when it comes to Brian Keith and where we can go in AEW / ROH?
Well, I'll start by saying Brian Keith is an example of what happens when the people speak. He had a couple of trial matches, and then when he had that Ring of Honor showing at Final Battle where he qualified for the TV title match, and they had that, people screamed super loud. People responded very, very well. In terms of where he can go, I definitely see the Ring of Honor TV title as a space that would go really, really well for Brian Keith. What's challenging sometimes with some of these signings, and I think Mex had mentioned this before, you might have mentioned this as well, it's tough to see people win in Ring of Honor and then not win in AEW.
I'd
almost rather you stick in one space and win and win well there. So I think the TV title is probably a really good space for Brian Keith to start. And I mean, that match potentially between him and Kyle Fletcher could really, really cook.
That would be phenomenal. Another one of the signings is Shane Taylor, former Ring of Honor television champion and six-man tag team champion as well. Before the original Ring of Honor kind of disbanded, you know, he was just on this mad, you know, dominance with Shane Taylor Promotions. He was a dominant television champion as well. He's emerged, he's come back, he's had these two kind of segments of feuds, I guess, with Keith Lee. Never really quite went, I guess, where we wanted it to go, or probably should have gone, but he still then had, you know, he had a short feud with the Blackpool Combat Club recently as well, and he's now announced that he's signed. It's been said that, you know, there are plans to add people to the current version of Shane Taylor Promotions, which is himself and Lee Moriarty. Mex, who in AEW / ROH could you see joining Shane Taylor and Moriarty in STP?
I haven't a clue.
Mm.
I would like to see Khan go back.
Yeah,
I think that could definitely work wonders for
him.
I would have liked to say Keith Lee, but Keith Lee's not even really on TV too much. It's hard to say. Like, and at the same time as you ask the question, I'm trying to think, well, what is STP ceiling and who has similar ceilings that we can then put them in together? Like, and it's not maybe the best way to kind of think about it, not the most positive way to think about it, but Private Party could be fun in there. But I think now that they've re-emerged together, we don't need to kind of put them under the tutelage of anyone else. Just let them have a tag run. But if I'm completely honest, I find it very hard to get up and excited for these signings. I'm very happy they've secured their futures and they've got contracts and they're getting paid. But they just tend to do this thing where it's like, you know, lose, and then, but they're getting over when they're losing. Fair enough. They get this contract. They continue to lose. Like, I was shocked Queen Aminata won the other day. Like, shocked. Because not that she's not capable of winning. We know her talent. We've seen her for a very long time on AEW TV. So I even asked the question when she got signed, why now? Like, what has she shown you differently now that she hasn't shown you since Dark? Since Dark Elevation, she wins the match, and maybe she's going to go on to do some more stuff on Ring of Honor. But this is it. I just feel like it's what's the progression here? Like, I feel like you're just signing people, and it's just to have, rather than we need these people, and we're going to actually fix them into programming. They also said last week they've got 200 people on the roster. 200 it's like, and you know, I don't know how many WWE has. This isn't a WWE versus AEW thing, but it's like, I know for sure WWE has more hours of television, like, so,
and two separate shows for two sets of,
this
know,
is it. We get Brian Danielson on Dynamite, and the same week we'll get him on Collision as well,
and Rampage.
And I love Danielson, so I don't mind that. But it's like, that's obviously stopping other people getting a shine. So, yeah, like, as happy as I am for them, it's just like, well, am I going to remember they even work for AEW in 4 weeks' time?
Mm. Interesting.
So I just struggle to kind of get up for it and really get invested in it.
Here's the thing. I think I could say definitely that with the two guys, Brian Keith and Shane Taylor, probably Shane Taylor a little bit more, because I'm not sure where he's kind of, you know, fitting in. With Brian Keith, you can see there's something that they're doing. But with Kieran Aminati, you can definitely see that there's something. Like you said, Mick, you know, she got a win over Anna Jay the other day. There was, you know, they've done this whole interview thing with Renee Paquette as well, speaking about her life and all the rest of it. Yeah. I think that's going to be like on a YouTube, on their mm-hmm. YouTube channel or whatever else. And then, you know, we've got this whole ROH Women's Television Championship as well. She won her first round match. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who she beat. I think it was, I forget her name. She's in my head, but I forget her name. And I feel as though she is a strong favorite for that title. Mm-hmm. You know, we spoke about this before a few weeks back, and we mentioned Trisha Dora. Trisha Dora lost her match, her first mm-hmm. round match to Mercedes mm-hmm. Martinez, so she's not in it anymore. Right. But I truly think that Queen Aminata has a strong, strong chance of winning that tournament, becoming the first ROH Women's TV champion. Gerard, of course, you know Aminata as well yourself. What are you seeing different? Or actually, no, answer Mex's question, because this might be a question mm-hmm. other people are asking as well. Why now? Why not last year? Why not the year before when we first saw her? Why now?
Sure. I think now it happens because, number one, she's back from injury. She had an injury last year that really kept her out for most of the year. I think had she not gotten injured, she would have been signed last year. Mm-hmm. She was all over the place in the States, in Japan. It's so interesting because she's another one of those that's one of one. You don't have anybody else in the business quite like Queen Aminata. This amazing mixture of being statuesque yet wildly aggressive. You know, she's not built like Jade Cargill or like Bianca Belair. She's extremely fluid. She can hit you with submissions, power moves, striking. Like, she has that combination that you want to tune in and see. You know, plus she's being the first African-born female to be signed to a major company. So why now? I think it's because she's healthy now, and I think she's able to do all of the things. I think she adds something to the AEW and Ring of Honor women's locker room that isn't currently there. And I think her signing now, and this might sound strange, I think her signing, more so than Mercedes Moné, is a sign of where they want to take the women's division. I think that there's actually commitment to building stars as opposed to just showcasing people who've already been created as stars. And I think Aminata gets to really become almost a homegrown AEW star, whether that's an AEW or Ring of Honor. That's why I think this happens now. And I think she has a bright future that will have gold certainly before the end of the year.
The push makes sense, even in the tournament, even if she isn't to win it. The fact right. they've inserted her into a division is enough for me that we'll at least see her around, face the contenders in that division. Yeah. And the women's stuff generally is making small increments and improving. Mm-hmm. So it's just when you sign someone and then they fade into obscurity after their matches mm-hmm. and the high mm-hmm. of the signing, and then they just... random matches, they become enhancement talent that's under contract. It's mm-hmm. that's what you don't want to see. But yeah, I agree with Queen Aminata. It's already looking promising.
Yeah, for sure. And like you said, you know, we've seen it so many times. People have signed, you know, it's a big thing for about a month, and then after that, as you said, you know, they just become mid-card jobbers, don't see them again, stuff like that. I mean, we've kind of almost seen that's been argued already, even with Adam Copeland. Mm-hmm. And look how big a signing he was and is and whatever else. So it can definitely happen. But I think the safe place for Kareem Aminata to be is on Ring of Honor.
Yes.
In a good space in that women's division. Not necessarily keep integrating her into AEW and facing the likes of Toni Storm and Hikaru mm-hmm. Shida. Like, leave her away from all of that. Keep yeah. her on Ring of Honor and let her cook. And I think she'll be absolutely fine just being there. with all that said, it's been this is our time has come and end of the show. You've been watching Wrestle Extra on the WrestleManiac UK YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe on the YouTube channel to see when this guy Mex puts out all his reactions to WWE, AEW, and everything else in between. You can also find Mex on the Wrestings channel with the boys of Wrestings. Don't forget to like and subscribe to that channel as well and see when the Mandem put out their weekly podcasts as well. You can also see Mex, not even see him, you can hear Mex.
Yes.
On the Gorilla Position.
Yeah.
If you want to see him on Gorilla Position, you'll see him talking about WWE 2K24 as well. Mm-hmm. You can find him there. You can find Mex on all things on X, WrestleManiac UK, and on Instagram, WrestleManiac UK. You can find this guy, Gerard Bonner, everywhere on the planet. just type in Bonafide and you'll find him. You'll find him on X, on Instagram. You can find him at RSHA Wrestling, WWT Live, Southern Honor Wrestling, Nightmare Factory, IWE, Turnbuckle, and he's on the Shoulder Faction Show. Come on!
You're on a roll today. You're on a roll.
Yeah.
And you can find me in the only place you need to find me right now on Instagram, which is Black Wrestling Alliance. Guys, thank you for joining us on the show, and we'll see you again next time.